What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hindsightless, the mighty podcast where I talk about life, role-playing games, or whatever else might be running around inside of my head, but mostly role-playing games, because they let you experience sword and sorcery in your mind. Okay, at time of recording, it is October 23rd, 2020. It is not 2020. I'm getting ready to play Cyberpunk 2020 in a couple hours. It's actually October 23rd, 2022, and it has been decreed that today is Day of the Mighty, Sword and Sorcery Day, and that's pretty awesome, because despite some, I don't know, some people might think that I don't like sword and sorcery, I freaking love sword and sorcery. I love it to pieces, but I was wondering what I was going to talk about. Jason did an awesome reading on his podcast, which was really, really cool. But I think I'm going to talk about movies, because I have seen more sword and sorcery movies than read sword and sorcery books or stories. Though I do want to give a shout out to the Falfur and the Grey Mouser books by Fritz Lieber. Or Liber, however you say that. I love those books. Swords Against Death, Swords Against Valor. They're collections of short stories, so they don't take too much of an investment. But they're absolutely amazing. The world building is fantastic. The characterization is, it's just out of this world. I love those books. They're amazing. So if you've never read any Fritz Liber of his Sword and Sorcery, which most of you probably have, but not everybody. I highly, highly recommend them. Yeah, they're awesome. But anyway, so I was thinking, what movie am I going to talk about? So let me look up a list of sword and sorcery movies. So I looked up a list of like the best sword and sorcery movies. And the first list that came up was the one I was checking out. And it's from a website called, what is it? FictionHorizon.com. Fiction Horizon, you know, that old classic. FictionHorizon.com. Everybody knows them. So they put together a top 21 list of sword and sorcery movies. And there's some very interesting, very interesting selections on this list. For instance, Return to Oz, starring Veruca Salt. No, I don't think that's who's in it. But anyway, Return to Oz is in the top 10 of the greatest sword and sorcery movies of all time. They're number one. This is why when I finished reading this list, I was like, okay, this list doesn't count. Their number one best sword and sorcery movie of all time in the history of sword and sorcery movies is the Lord of the Rings trilogy. I don't think that it means what they think it means, dude. I don't know if this website knows what sword and sorcery means. But an entry that they did put on there, which I was like, huh. Highlander, the original Highlander movie. And I would say, yeah, that is a sword and sorcery movie. You know, just the first movie, because that's the only movie in the Highlander canon. It doesn't matter what this writer of the movie ended up saying later about how his whole original idea was that they were all aliens or whatever. That's dumb. And it's a sword and sorcery movie, and that rules. Because Highlander, you know, like, you don't have to be set in a deserty wasteland, right, to be sword and sorcery. No, it's that feel. It's the gritty feel, the danger, swords and some sort of magic, which isn't necessarily very well defined. And in Highlander, the magic is not well defined at all. The quickening, what's the quickening? We don't really know what the quickening is. It makes you run really fast on the beach while a Scottish Spaniard yells at you. God, I love that movie. Man, that soundtrack, all done by Queen. The entire soundtrack is a Queen album. Princes of the Universe, such an amazing song. Born to be Kings, that's the same song. Here we are, born to be kings. We're the princes of the universe. Man, that soundtrack slaps, man. That's right up there with the Crow soundtrack as far as like best movie soundtracks go. And the sword fights, the fact that Highlander starts with a wrestling match at Madison Square Gardens and a sword fight in a parking structure, cool dudes in overcoats. The first time I saw Highlander, I was probably, I don't know, man, 12 years old, maybe around there. And I was just like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. It helped spawn and birth my lifelong love of swords and katanas and just awesome shit in general. But yeah, I would say Highlander is a sword and sorcery movie. I'm very curious what you guys think, but I am putting my foot down that Lord of the Goddamn Rings is not a sword and sorcery movie. That's a terrible, terrible choice. The Dark Crystal, arguably, maybe it could be more so than Lord of the Rings. What other weird stuff is on this list? Conan the Barbarian was number 3. Number 2 was Excalibur, which Excalibur's, that's, that movie's cool. But yeah, what's this? What's number 7? Willow. Okay, Willow. That Willow's sword and sorcery. That's good. The Neverending Story. I don't know. That doesn't really have the feel, does it? Same with Labyrinth. Is Labyrinth sword and sorcery? I feel like they've just taken a bunch of really awesome, cool fantasy movies and just put them as sword and sorcery movies. Like The Princess Bride. That's not really a sword and sorcery movie, necessarily. I mean, there's swords in it, and there's some magic in it, so maybe? But, I don't know. I just know that there's a ton. Yeah, because Highlander was 8. Highlander was in 8th place. Came out in 1986. So, yeah, no, the first time I saw it, I was probably like 10 or 11, I would think, then. Awesome, man. Anyway, there's a ton of Big Trouble in Little China, right? That's number 9 on this list, is Big Trouble in Little China. Is that a sword and sorcery movie? Yeah, is it? It's a fucking amazing movie in every sense. But is it a sword and sorcery movie? I don't know. I feel like that's a bit of a stretch too. But regardless of that, there is a ton of amazing sword and sorcery material out there that isn't what I would consider problematic and doesn't make me feel funny to watch or read. So go seek out some sword and sorcery. Go on a quest to a mystic land to find some sword and sorcery and put it in your life. It's fantastic. Put it in your games. Play some sword and sorcery games. Barbarians of Lemuria. Jason always talks about Barbarians of Lemuria. I've played that game a few times. That game rules. You know, that's a great game. Yeah, just sword and sorcery is awesome. It's really, really cool. I'm glad it's a genre that exists. I'm glad it's a genre that's still going. And what do y'all think? Do you think Highlander is a sword and sorcery movie? On this weird-ass list by FictionHorizon.com. Why is this the first one to come up? Has no one else put together a list of best sword and sorcery movies? Top 21? Are there 21 sword and sorcery movies? There's gotta be. There's fucking gotta be. But anyway, that's it for my Day of the Mighty Sword and Sorcery. Go watch Highlander sometime soon. And tell me if you think it's sword and sorcery. I think it fits. I think it fits. It's certainly mighty. There aren't too many sweaty thews in there, you know. But do you need half-naked dudes to be sword and sorcery? I don't know if you do. But maybe you kind of do, right? I mean, that's what...
That's what
friggin' Howard was into. He was into really sweaty, naked, strong dudes. So maybe you do need some of that in your Sword and Sorcery. I don't know. But I'm putting Highlander up there for my entry for Day of the Mighty. But since we're talking about books, let's keep... and fiction in general, because we weren't talking about books, were we? We were talking about a movie. I suck at what I do. I got some calls about my breakdown of the Margaret Weis and Tracy Hickman book Time of the Twins that I just finished reading. And then I have some other bits and bobs, some call-ins that I want to play, some awesome calls. So let's get to those right now. But anyway, October 23rd, 2022, Day of the Mighty. Get your sword, cast your spells, and let's go.
Hey, Joe Jason here. Happy, or congratulations, I should say, on your 402nd episode. Excellent. 402th episode, I think, is what Spencer said. As far as that scenario for ICRPG, it is out. It's called Pumpkin Circus. It's free. I've posted in the Discords, and I did mention on my show, but you skipped a bunch of episodes of my show because you don't like listening to my show anymore, so you must have missed it when I said it, but it is available now. As far as you giving all these spoilers out for D&D, these D&D novels, normally I'd be angry, but, you know, I kind of think D&D novels are trash fiction because, or that's just my feeling from reading a handful of them back in the day. So I don't really care because I'm never going to read them. You know, says the guy that reads and watches all kinds of trash fiction. And the kind of shit I watch is much worse than those books are, I'm sure. But so I hope people take that in the tongue-in-cheek way it's meant to be. But I'm never going to read the novel, so I don't really care about the spoilers. But you should give a timestamp so people can skip them if they are going to read them. As far as Cyberpunk, you said you wish Cyberpunk was real. It is. Look at your air quality right now. You can't breathe because of the friggin' crap in the air. There's your Cyberpunk. Congratulations. You've now graduated to 2022. Corporations in power? Come on now. Okay, I'll back off. Let me go listen to the rest of your show.
Yeah, like I've said a ton of times, including probably in that episode in 402, we have most of the bad stuff of Cyberpunk, but not very much of the cool stuff. Like I talked about, where are my cyber eyes? That's not a thing I can get right now. And until we can get cyber eyes, then I'm not saying we're in actual Cyberpunk. We're just in the hellscape that formed Cyberpunk. We're not there yet, man. In 30 years from now, 2050, maybe, we'll see if we're still around. If we're still around. But yeah, dude, as far as the spoilers go, a better podcaster than me would go back and find that message you sent me where you were super mad about somebody telling Ray what he should do on his show with the music. No, but I hear you, dude. I mean, I think the default assumption should be if somebody's talking about a thing that you haven't read or watched and you don't want spoilers, you shouldn't consume that thing. That should be the default assumption if you don't want spoilers. I, you know, the idea that it should be on, if somebody's reviewing a thing, they shouldn't have to talk about, it should be assumed, you can't review a thing without it being full of spoilers, really. Really. You could say, hey, I like this book, but that doesn't really give any information. You need to talk about why you liked it, what you liked about it, what you didn't like about it. So, yeah, you know, I should have said there would be spoilers, but I feel like that's the assumption. Is that there's going to be spoilers, especially with me, and especially with you, Jason, and your crazy definitions of what spoilers are. So, yeah, dude, next time if I review a thing, I will give timestamps, but also assume that there will be spoilers in there. But yeah, speaking of spoilers, we're going to hear some more talk about spoilers from the henchmen right now. So henchmen, what's up with Time of the Twins?
Hi Joe, just listen to Goblin Henchman here. Just listen to your Test of the Twins. I would say that after I read the sort of Dragons of Autumn Twilight series back in the day. I was really, really super pumped to read the second set, you know, the Twins books. And I think I read the first chapter, and I think I was so depressed by it. I didn't read. I just put the book down. Never read it. I think some 30 years later, I did then listen to the audiobooks. I don't remember the narrator being bad, but I don't remember it being good. The only thing I would say is that I listened to quite a series of these Dragonlance books, and I think I listened to one out of sequence, maybe it was in chronological sequence, but not published sequence. And there was a massive spoiler in there that I didn't enjoy. And then obviously if it's a spoiler, it lets you down too. But so be careful, you can listen to the rest. Make sure you listen in the correct sequence, unlike me. All right, cheers.
Yeah, that would kind of suck, man. I 100% hear what you're saying about the first chapter. It actually goes farther than just the first chapter of Time of the Twins being just super depressing. If you're coming off the original four book series, Dragons of Autumn Twilight, Dragons of Winter Night, blah, 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 whatever those four books are. And then you start Legends, book one, which is Time of the Twins. You're just like, what is going on? And yeah, like in the review I talked about, you could easily skip the first five or six chapters of Time of the Twins and miss nothing. It adds so little. I mean, it is kind of how Weiss and Hickman justify their stance that slavery gets you in really good shape. So I guess that's why it's in there. But yeah, man. Those first few chapters. And then as far as the narrator, Axe is his name. Whatever his last name is, his first name is Axe. I'd like to ax him something. Anyway, it's not that he's bad, right? He does a serviceable job. He reads the words. He doesn't mispronounce things too terribly, even though he constantly refers to Tasselhoff when in the books, instead of writing out Tasselhoff every time, sometimes they write out just T-A-S. He calls him Toss instead of Tass, which that annoys me because it's Tasselhoff. It's not Tasselhoff, but he calls him Toss when it's T-A-S, and that bugs the shit out of me. But it's more so his lack of any sort of, like I said, darkness in his soul. Like, just ability to project emotions other than banal, just non-emotions. When the narrator gets, like, in the story, when it has a character yelling or getting angry, it's ridiculous. His portrayal of that is just, it's ridiculous, man. So, yeah, I don't know, man. You know, Jason referred to these books as trash fiction. That's harsh, but not necessarily unfair. They're fun books. They're Marvel movies, right? But they're in print, and they were Marvel movies before Marvel movies were a thing. So, you know, I feel that way. They're just fun popcorn reading. But, yeah, I can imagine coming back to the series 30 years later and getting out of sequence. Because the names of the three books, they're, I think it goes Time of the Twins, War of the Twins, and Test of the Twins. And honestly, like, to me, it feels like War of the Twins is a title for, like, the final book, as opposed to, I think the final book is, like, Test of the Twins. I don't know. So I can see why somebody would get confused. But yeah, man, I don't think I'm going to be moving on with the trilogy. I listened to the free sample on Audible of book two and was just like, I don't know, but we'll see. Anyway, man, you have one more thing to say, and I think it's important. I'm glad you stepped up to the plate and accepted responsibility. So thank you for this call that's coming up right now.
Hi, Joe, Goblin Sentiment here. So I'm very sorry I got you into trouble with British Karen. It wasn't my intention. I think I just misspoke when I said that a Glaswegian accent. I mean, it's very clear that Saver has a thick a strong Scouse accent, or moderate to strong. So, I feel that, you know, I want to apologise to all Glaswegians and Scousers out there for my error, and, you know, in particular, for getting you into some hot water. So, apologies. Okay, so cheers, bye.
I really appreciate that, Henchman, and I'm glad we got it figured out that it was a Lilliputian accent and not the other kind of... I don't know. I don't know. Oh, man, there are so many. Are there more accents in the UK than there are in America, despite America being so much bigger? I sort of feel like it, but maybe not, maybe not. You know, as far as I'm concerned, in America, there's the East Coast accent, the Californian accent, the Southern accent, the Boston accent, and the Midwest accent. And that's sort of it. But maybe I'm wrong. I could be wrong, you know, because forever I didn't think I had an accent until everyone said, "God damn, you sound like you're from California." And I was like, well, I guess that's how accents work then, huh? But awesome, man. Yeah, dude, that was fantastic. And speaking of UK Karen, we're going to hear from her neighbor. Probably the one who turned her onto the podcast. We're going to hear from Spencer. In my last episode, which at time of recording came out a few hours ago, several hours ago at this point, but I mentioned my first ever call-in that I got on this show was from Spencer, and I asked him if he remembered what that message was. So let's hear if he remembered. Spencer, did you remember?
Oh dear, I'd completely forgotten about that message, Joe. Thank you for prompting me to go back and give it a listen. I know it's a bit conceited to laugh at your own stuff, but well, it gave me a chuckle. I was quite a funny fucker, wasn't I? Having said that, I have spent a lifetime laughing at myself because the alternative is too tragic to contemplate. I also want to take this opportunity to say that listening to Hindsightless has been a pleasure from day one. It's always a joy to interact with you, Joe, and long may it continue. Take care, my friend.
I feel that so much, Spencer. I, too, have spent a lifetime laughing at myself. And, you know, people... I may have mentioned this before, and I think maybe you and I have maybe gone over it, but throughout my life, people have asked me time and time again, like, given your disability, how do you manage to stay positive, basically, you know, in so many words? And my answer is always the same. What's the fucking choice? You know? Yeah, cool, I could be a miserable son of a bitch if I wanted to, but that sounds awful. And not at all fun. So you just laugh. And I don't think there's anything conceited about laughing at your own stuff, especially not when it's 3 years old. You know, I hadn't listened to that for a long time, and I'm sure you hadn't listened to it for even longer. So to go back and listen to something that you created 3 years ago and find it funny, find it awesome, that's amazing, man. That's a sign of something special. So again, thank you for that message, and it will be played soon in my spooky episode that's going to be coming up. I have no idea what I'm going to do with that episode other than play that message. So yeah, thank you for this call, and thank you for that call from 3 years ago, man. All right, well, we're almost done. Up next, hold on. Up next, we have Jason answering my question, because Anchor when you're putting together an episode now has a banner at the top of the screen if you're doing it on your phone. I've since figured out how to turn that banner off, but the banner basically says, we're going to start putting a question at the bottom of your podcast in the description for your listeners to engage with, which is a fucking stupid thing to do. Let's take away voice messaging so that your audience can interact with you, but add some stupid question onto Spotify so your audience can interact with you. How do they answer it? It's ridiculous. I hate it. But Jason is kind enough to answer the question. So Jason, is there a question at the bottom of my podcast? Thanks, dude. Let me know.
Hey, Joe, there's not a question yet. I was going to call you and tell you that the question was asking if the listeners supported reopening the oil pipeline through Canada, but I figured that might be mean to do to you, so I didn't ask you that. Anyway, there isn't a question yet, and I did see the same thing on my Anchor app, so I think it's something they're going to be adding that they haven't actually implemented yet. I haven't researched enough to tell you how to turn it off or if you even can turn it off. Or, you know, whether it's time to totally jump ship on Anchor or not yet, I don't know. But, yeah, it has not happened yet. But I feel kind of bad I didn't tell you it was, you know, asking your listeners to support some kind of crazy right-wing thing that would piss you off. But I'm a nice guy, what can I say? Anyway, take care.
You are a very nice guy. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. You know, would I be shocked if Spotify started pushing out right-wing propaganda on my show? No, I wouldn't be. Oh, man. It's all about right-wing jokes. Kind of like the UK government right now. Oh! Sorry. But yeah, looking at England right now, it's almost like if you put a bunch of conservatives in control of the government, they'll ruin your country. What a shock. Who would have figured? Oh, man, dude. Oh, you know, the world's pretty cool right now, dude. Things are great. But at least we have sword and sorcery movies, and that's cool. So go watch a sword and sorcery movie today, folks. Because I gotta get out of here. Why do I need to go so quickly? Because in like, I don't know, a couple hours, I'm running my first session of Cyberpunk 2020 in over 30 years. So I gotta go get my mind set. I'm gonna go listen to some techno, some Crystal Method, probably the album Vegas, listen to some Chemical Brothers, Exit Planet Dust, just kind of get straight, get my edge going. Get my edge going for Cyberpunk. Anyway, let me get out of here. Yeah, I'll make this real sweet because, like I said, I got a game to prep for. But thank you so much to the calls to Jason and Henchman and Spencer. Thank you, everybody out there, for listening, for being awesome. And, yeah, we will all talk soon. So, you know, like I said last time, do your best to take care of yourself. If you can, take care of somebody else. And we'll talk again soon. Peace out.